the best things in life are free. And we're asking, well, are they? Probably not everything, but there are certainly some standout travel experiences that will cost you little or next to nothing, according to The Lonely Planet, which has just put out a book called The Best Things in Life Are Free. And you thought we played that for no other reason. Anyway, it includes budget recommendations for some 60 cities worldwide. Chris Zaya is Lonely Planet's Asia-Pacific correspondent, and he spoke earlier, or last week actually, with Adelaide Ng, and here is her report.
Chris Zaya, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Love the idea behind the book, that the most amazing travel experiences don't need to be expensive. And I think for many of us who have limited budgets, our thinking is the more I save, the more I can experience. Is that something you subscribe to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when most people are traveling, you know, we're all kind of mindful of our purse pocket or our wallets in terms of what we're actually spending. And often when you're away, you kind of want to splurge on a few things, but that has to come at the, you know, potentially, you know, looking at your pennies in a different way. So we thought actually putting together something that this is nearly 1,000 recommendations of free things to do around the world, which is fantastic for people to actually kind of delve into. So how we kind of approached it is, firstly, we went, actually, let's have a look at cities, because most people will be traveling city-based and there'll be free things to do there. And let's break things down into categories. So we kind of decided that we had five kind of key areas to look at, being arts and culture, music and film, sports and leisure, food and drink, and festivals and events. And what we wanted to do is make sure that we highlighted every one of those things within each of the city recommendations. And hence we came away with, I think it's 884 recommendations, which is crazy.
It is very easy to read and to go through and to decide for yourself, you know, which of the items you want to go for. But you must know a few frugal spenders who somehow come home with amazing travel stories. And I don't know if you'd include yourself in that group, but do you know what they do differently?
Yeah, I think what they do is they have a look at kind of what's on at the moment. So they look towards bulletin boards. You know, one of the key tricks that we kind of say straight away to, you know, to any traveller is, you know, if you're staying in a particular local area, have a look at what's on the local bulletin boards, or what's in, you know, the free things. Have a look at the street advertising as well. There's often lots of festivals that are listed, and that can kind of change your plans really quickly. And you know, I was down in Auckland not so long ago, and happened to go to the Silo Markets, which are there, and we just happened to be there on a Friday night where they play a free film. So that night we ended up grabbing some food from a food truck and sitting in front of the silos as the sunset watching a free film. So some of the times it can be a happy accident, but it's really probably keeping your ear to the ground about what's going on around there. And it can kind of change plans and actually give you a really unique experience of a destination.
So don't plan too tightly, because you never know what you might discover when you arrive. Now, I've got word that you've just got back from an amazing African safari. Can I ask where you went exactly? And was that a splurge
for you? I had a fabulous time. I was in Botswana, so it was my first trip to Botswana. I stayed in a camp about 80 kilometres outside of the Chobe National Park, which is kind of up towards Victoria Falls. So for listeners, that's kind of on the very close to the border of Zimbabwe, Zambia, Namibia and Botswana, in an elephant reserve. So it was incredible. So every day there was over 140 elephants at a watering hole where our camp was, which was just extraordinary.
Crikey, how did you say hello to every one of them?
It was crazy, and also waking up to hyena and all sorts of. It was one of those trips of a lifetime. That one wasn't something to be done for free. That actually cost a little bit to do. But interestingly, we transited down to Cape Town in South Africa afterwards, and we spent a lot of time in wine country down there. And again, one of the free things that we were doing in that destination was we were actually doing a lot of winery hopping, doing the free tastings, and they often had free markets on the weekends on the Saturday, where there was a lot of sampling of local produce. So you were kind of able to go around these really beautiful, kind of almost boutique markets within these crazy winery settings, and be able to sample like the local cheeses, coffees, as well as being able to, you know, quaff some of the beautiful wine that's down there as well.
That's fabulous. You still sound full for some reason.
I've come back and I'm on a strict diet.
Well, yes. Well, I've noticed that there is a safari without the big bucks section in the book, and that's really helpful. And also the online community is really helpful. There's, of course, the Lonely Planet's Thorn Tree website that's really popular. Also, there's TripAdvisor, there's Travelfish, a whole bunch of others. Do you find that that would be one of the top things to do before you go overseas?
Yeah, so community is incredibly important, and I think you've hit on something that's really, really very, very relevant. Because what, so Thorntree, we actually sort of, which predates Facebook in terms of our social community, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, is this traveller community where people can jump online and ask other travellers questions. So for instance, like myself, I could be going, I'm going to Cape Town in August. Does anyone know anything that that I should be on the lookout there that we haven't been able to, you know, we haven't been able to capture? And you can come back with a series of questions, a series of recommendations, should I say, in terms of, yep, there's a great coffee festival on this weekend, or yes, you should be going to this because there's an artisan market that's doing all sorts of really interesting things with local craftsmen. I mean, you can get that all that information from our Thorntree website, which is based off of lonelyplanet.com. So community is incredibly important, and we very much know that friends and family, in terms of recommendations, if they've been to a place, will actually be able to pass that on to other people as well. So definitely ask your friends and family if they've been to a particular destination what they would recommend doing there as well, because it's those kind of tips that become that really shareable, iconic thing that you can do when you're in a destination.
And I'm really surprised at how much some of the contributors know, because I have used it before, and just the information that I got back, I don't think you can find in any travel book, because it told me exactly how far to walk up a street, to turn left or to turn right, pass by a particular shop with a certain colour. It was just amazing.
And it's those things that are invaluable, right? Because when you're in a destination, sometimes you do get a little bit disoriented in terms of, like, I'm somewhere new, I'm somewhere different. I've been here a long time, and I've got a fairly good sense of direction. But even I get kind of confused, and it is having those kind of, like, no, turn right at the greenhouse and hit this, that, and the other. There's that kind of insider stuff that's actually going to save you time and actually get you to a place and get you to that experience more quickly. So, you know, at Lonely Planet, we do say we try and take the hard yards out of things for people, so people can actually get to the experience without the hassle.
It's a great book, and there are some of the recommended sites that I'm thinking, really? Because, you know, apart from parks and museums, which are things that we think of when we think of budget travel, and we know how amazing some of those places are, but there are some suggestions in the book that are a little on the wild side, you know, like visiting the most dangerous church in the world, and this one's in Ethiopia. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah, I have. The other one that I really, really like is, I like Stonehenge, which is, like, if you don't want to pay the prices to go and see the kind of monoliths of Stonehenge, we've got a whole heap of other kind of rock formations around the world that you can go without the entry fee. It's those kind of things that are kind of cute and really inspire people in different ways. We do know that people also like a raft of recommendations. So right from that kind of most dangerous church in Ethiopia right through to what's the best swimming hole to get to in Europe, where, you know, I don't have to pay an entry fee, or I don't have to pay, you know, a fee for a chair or for a hut. It's those kind of, we know people love to travel in different ways, and they've got a scale in terms of, well, not risk, but a scale in terms of adventure, how adventurous they are. And we definitely want to make sure that we've captured all of that for everybody that's out there. And I think that's what makes this particular product so unique.
And just to let our listeners know, when we say this church is dangerous, it involves you climbing a vertical wall that's 6 meters high, got no ropes. You do need to pass a narrow section, and that's with a 200-meter drop. And I'm thinking you'd be feeling very close to God on the way to that church.
Well, and we, exactly. You got it in one there for sure.
And also, one of your more interesting recommendations for budget reels listed is, if you're going to America, is Storm Chasing in Orlando. I'm guessing this book does not come with travel insurance.
No, but travel insurance is really important. People should be taking out travel insurance before they go, regardless of whether they're going to storm chase or go scale a dangerous church in Ethiopia. They should actually be really looking after themselves with comprehensive travel insurance. And it's interesting you bring that up too, because I think the other thing that we always advocate, and it's something that a lot of travellers don't necessarily always do, is actually registering their details on Smart Traveller. That is a really important thing in terms of when people are away, just to track where they are, because if anything does occur, you know, globally, there is an earthquake or a cyclone or something something horrific naturally does occur, you know, there is a way to find you pretty quickly. So that's a really important, responsible thing for most travellers to do as well.
Very good reminder. Now, in case our listeners are wondering if Australia is represented in the book, the answer is yes. Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane are profiled, although Sydney gets six pages, Melbourne gets four, and Brisbane gets two. I'm wondering if that says anything. Chris, do you have your favourite spots?
I do. Well, my favourite spot is actually something that I didn't know about, and our office in Lonely Planet here in Melbourne is actually in Carlton, and we're quite close to the Seven Seeds coffee roasters, and I didn't know that they do what's called a cupping, so it's kind of like a sampling of their coffees, where you go in and you give a dollar donation or a $2 donation, and you get to go and sample all their bits and pieces that are there. I had no idea that was in existence until I actually read this product from our Melbourne author. I've gone down and done it twice, and I've got some friends here that are actually coming in on the weekend, and I'm taking them down to do it as well.
Chris Zier of Lonely Planet was speaking with Adelaine Ung.